started with two lonely guys, lost and nowhere to go. Now it's still the same old song and dance, but now they've got a 10-listener show. It's As Is. Ooh. It's As Is. Ooh. It's As Is.
Let that sink in.
It's As Is.
It certainly is. Wow. You know, this is the first time I've had a guitar in my apartment.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. This is certainly a virgin territory for me.
Well, we took it easy, you know. Nothing was harmed.
I feel that was sacred. That was sacred.
That was a special moment.
See, everything in the energy in my apartment has just moved. The lamps are not the same. The molecules are different.
And I don't think it's the result of like an earthquake or anything like that.
No, it's a spiritual awakening.
Yeah. It took me maybe about like 10 minutes to come up with that today at work.
Well, I like the subject.
Yes.
I feel like our show needs a theme song. This could be in the running.
Right.
Orion is sporting not quite the rock and roll look today. He's got the khaki pants. You know, I feel like Mick Jagger probably wouldn't be wearing khaki pants.
Right.
But this is not a visual medium. It's an auditory medium.
That's right.
And so I should probably not have said what I just said.
Well,
you're actually looking like Freddie Mercury in 1975. Let's just tell the audience that.
Okay.
Yeah, you got long hair.
Okay.
You look like half woman, half man.
Okay.
No, that's not true. Ryan is all man. He's very scruffy. I'm scruffy today, too, a little bit. I feel like it's a scruffy kind of day.
Scruffy kind of day?
You know what I'm pissed about? It was a nice day today.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful October 4th day.
Uh-huh.
Have you been outside today?
Oh, I was definitely outside today.
Fucking nice.
Fucking nice.
I mean, and I couldn't enjoy it because I have shit to do.
So, let's catch up. You know, it's been a while since we had an episode. What's going on?
All right, man. Well, it's as is, isn't it?
That's right.
Let me just say, I don't know how to approach this. I feel like Ryan just put his guitar down and now he's becoming a civilian again. I feel, first of all, I should not be here with you tonight. I'm supposed to be performing tonight.
Uh-huh.
In front of, usually when you do, let's talk about theater for a second.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so.
We got like 57 minutes to kill. Let's.
So, all right, well, you know, when you do a show, for people that don't know, usually you do a practice night in front of seniors. Old people that have nothing else to do in their life.
Right.
And the only thing that prevents them from throwing themselves off the bridge or, you know, any
have
other...
Have a stroke.
Or a stroke or getting another enema, whatever old people do.
You know, I hear a lot of old women, like, not old, not just old women, but, like, a lot of old people in, like, nursing homes, they have a lot of sex.
But you have to have that one guy that can still get it up.
Right. Don't they give a... I mean, at that point, I mean, why not just give the guys Viagra? I mean, why not? They should just hand them out like candy at that point.
Well, first of all, most of the guys die regardless of the Viagra. So there's only like one randy guy working around with an erection.
I aim to be that guy.
Well, dude, if we're not having sex now, we might as well have sex in an old age. Not together because we're not, you know, we're not gay. There's anything wrong with that. But I digress. So, you know, I'm supposed to be performing tonight. I am in a show that's opening on Friday, and it's a goddamn shit show. I've never been involved in... First of all, you've been to this place. It's a really weird place, right?
Oh, it's totally fucked up.
It's an auditorium. It's in a strange town called Manville, and it's...
Technically, I would say it's Bridgewater. Manville's over the bridge.
Okay. Well, I feel like a man, so I'm going. I call it Manville.
Okay.
Bridgewater has a feminine energy to it. Bridgewater.
Sure.
I'm in Manville, baby. Anyway, you're right. The address is Bridgewater. So anyway, yeah, this is a very weird place. And so it's actually like an old building that has a lot of different things in it. So if you go to the bathroom, which, by the way, there's like one bathroom in the whole fucking place.
Oh, that place is fucking
so
terrible.
So when you go to the bathroom, you have to pass all these other rooms. Some of them have like sewing classes. Some of them have, you know, what's that Scottish bagpipe?
Bagpipes?
Who wants to take a class in that and that? So I go to the bathroom sometimes, and I have to go by...
That actually sounds like an ambulance siren, but...
Well, if you're in Scotland, sure.
Right.
No, it's a building of every class has another activity.
Yeah, it's a
people care center.
Yeah.
So anyway, I try to hold it in because I don't want to go. If I have a choice between hearing basket weaving classes and not having basket weave, I'd rather not.
I mean, all you have to do is just walk past the room.
No, but you hear it and it seeps into my soul. And then I can't urinate as effectively as I would have. Oh. Anyway, everything about this place is weird. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. So this play, you know, it's called 12 Angry Jurors. It's a very famous play. Originally, it's called 12 Angry Men, but we added females to the cast, so we're calling it jurors instead of men. I wasn't going to do it, right? I wasn't going to do it. A director called me, and I liked you know the director.
Oh, yeah.
She's very cool. And so none of this is her fault. Okay, all right. So cut to... So now I'm late to the production. Everybody else is kind of memorized. I'm not. And it's a very complicated play because there's a lot of like different... A lot of people talking all over each other, 12 people. Usually when you do a play, it's like 3 or 4 people.
Right.
So the dialogue is like, you know who you're talking
very
with.
Quick cutting and everything. Like it's
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, I mean, I have moments where I speak a lot and that's actually easy. The hard part is the little lines. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody says, all right, what do you think? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. What do you think? And it's just like, actually, that was easy because you're saying think. But I mean, it's just very, this is the only time in my life, and we open on Friday.
Yeah.
This is the only time in my life that I'm not prepared. So the only saving grace is it's a courtroom, so we could have transcripts of the court. So we all have notes.
Oh, wow.
But the dialogue is so fast that even the notes aren't helping. Like, even with the notes, people aren't giving each other the right lines. It is so okay. So then, most of the play is centered about, you know, I want certain verdict, and another guy is against me. So it's a you know, me against him, right? The guy, I'm not gonna name his name, you know, because I don't want to bad. I actually like him. I don't want to badmouth him. But about five days ago, he called. You know, I haven't really had time to talk to him because we just rehearsed. He comes up to me. And he says, you know...
Did you know him before this show?
I've heard of him, but no, we've never done a show together.
Oh, okay.
So he says to me, with kind of a twinkle in his eye, he goes, yeah, this is very stressful. I think I might just... I might tell them that I have AIDS or something. And I'm like, yeah, right.
How big of a role is his?
Very big.
Holy shit. Okay. I think I know where this is
going. Oh, yeah, yeah. So last night, I show up to rehearsal. The director, Linda, looks like she's just seen death. And she goes, yeah, the guy just called me. He's not doing the show. So now, okay, so then my first thought is like, you know, thank God, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, let's just go home.
Uh-huh.
But now she's like, she calls the whole cast and she's like, okay, this happened. So we have to make a mutual decision about what to do. Should we get another actor? So now I'm like, okay, my second thought is I worked hard on this. Let's try to save this. So I'm the only one now, and I hate being the productive guy. I'm the one now scrambling to find all my actor friends. I actually thought about you for a second, but then I didn't want to bother you. Because it's a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah. Plus, so, I definitely couldn't do Friday.
Oh, okay.
I have to
walk the dog.
From the airport.
You have to pick up your dog from the airport.
My parents. Yeah. How big is the role?
It's huge.
Oh, shit. I asked you that already.
No, it's fine. It's huge. It's huge. But, I mean, the thing is... So, okay, so now, so, but here's the crazy part, right? So part of me is like, I don't want to do this play anymore, and I could go home, and another part of me, I'm feeling bad for Linda, the director, I'm feeling bad for people that worked hard on this. Another thought is to move it to November,
uh-huh.
But then this place is so crazy that they said, you know, there's nobody to even talk to. Anyway, it was, the first hour of rehearsal last night was chaos. And I'm like, somehow I had my wits about me. I start looking through my phone through all my actor friends. I know like a million actors.
Uh-huh.
So I called them. I talked to them. Facebook, this, you know, LinkedIn. I talked to three people. They were thinking about it. They said no. By the way, while I'm doing this, the other fuckers in the cast, they're just walking around. Like, I mean, the director is kind of trying to find, but I'm the only one being like really, we have this weird guy in the cast. He starts talking to me. I'm like, dude, I'm fucking trying to save the show here. Don't talk to me about fucking popcorn. There's a guy that broke donuts. And then, there's a guy that broke donuts. And then every 10 minutes he goes, hey guys, we have donuts here. Donuts. I'm like, who cares about the donuts? These people are very annoying. So anyway, I'm fine. Okay, so this is an hour and a half. So this is an hour and a half of just tension, 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 tension. Guys screaming about donuts. I'm trying to like ignore all these people. Finally, I DM somebody on Facebook. Mike Johnson from SVP. I did a play with him 10 years ago. He starts to think about it. He goes, you know what? I can't do all the weekends, but I could do this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? We'll start with that, and then we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know what? Okay. So he says I'll be there in 20 minutes.
Holy shit.
So everybody's like talking about donuts. And I'm like, guys, hello, people. Okay, hello. I found someone. He's coming in 20. Like, I'm the only guy that's like working on this. Anyway, so now it gets a little bit better. This guy, I've done a play with him. Do you know him, Mike Johnson?
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's a part of SVP, another theater around here, you know. Anyway, so we were going to cancel the whole thing, and now it's on. So then he shows up, and of course, the director, she's about to have a heart attack at this point. Like, she's just like, I could just see her life. She's just, so now I'm like, okay, now let's focus. We have to give him some blocking, some movements. So, of course, he's reading from the script. He's going to read from the script.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because half the cast is reading from their notes anyway. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. So now we're doing it. We're running the whole show. Now it's 8:45 at night. Like, we wasted 2 hours trying to find an actor. And then we're still talking to another guy who might do the last two weekends. Uh-huh. So this is all going on at the same time. I was like, I cannot believe this shit show. But then, and then, I'm not going to name names, but there's another guy. You know him, the guy from last time that I didn't like very much.
Uh-huh.
Well, no names. But he goes, oh, you know, I think I could do the part. And I'm thinking, and thankfully, Linda, the director, looks at me and she goes, how am I going to say no to him? But we both know that he's not going to be very good. His instincts are like from an alien from outer space.
Yeah, it's so, like me trying to sing a...
No. That's already viral. We're like number one on Spotify right now. So then I look at Linda, the director, in her eyes. I'm like... That guy cannot play. I'll not do the play if I have to do scenes with him. No way. I have to do a few scenes with him, but as I know, he's a minor character right now. Yeah. Like, he cannot be, anyway. So now my friend shows up. Thank God. He's doing it. He's doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then tonight was supposed to be a thing for the seniors. Like, this is supposed to be a polished show tonight. So then there was a problem where we sent notices to all the fucking old ages homes in the community. And now we can't tell them not to come because we don't know who we sent it to. That's like all the old people in the world got the notice to come for tonight.
So what you're saying is right now, there's like 1,000 old people.
No, 30 or 40 old people thinking, was this the night or the right night, Edith, to come to the free show?
Yeah, they're all out there standing outside the building right now.
Well, maybe they'll listen to the podcast. They'll be like a nice little...
No, man, there we go, yeah.
You know, I'm sure they enjoy the theme song, you know? No, I mean, I don't know. Listen, I mean, we had to cancel it. I mean, another... So anyway, now... Okay, so then, of course, I texted you last night. I was like, we got to do a podcast because tomorrow night, I mean, I'm free. Yeah. And I'm supposed to be memorizing lines, but for what? Like, this whole thing is like the Titanic, right? I actually talked actively to three actors on the phone, and they're like, you know, if we only had more time. And, you know, so this was like 15, 20 minutes on phone with people that actually said no. Yeah. And then finally this guy said, okay, I'll be there in 20 minutes. But he could only do this weekend. So I don't know what's going to happen after this weekend.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then we're running it, and then the director's like not even telling him where to move. And I'm thinking, he doesn't know where to go.
I would say, if I were directing, I'd be like, you know what? we're scrapping the 3-weekend idea.
Right.
Let's just do a stage reading.
Yeah, but it's already booked and people bought tickets. I don't know. I mean, I think, well, you know, because only because the nature of the show is that people have transcripts in their hands. It's mm-hmm. almost like a reading anyway. So, and we put in so much time on this thing. And I, you know, so I'm like, let's, and this guy can pull it off. This guy's a good actor.
Yeah.
He's going to be reading from the script, but he's a good actor. So anyway, that's, you know, I got home at midnight. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm the one that got this guy. Like, without me, I don't know what they would have done.
Fucking A, man.
So, I am the king of Broadway, and so another thing is this play, like, as much, I go over it, but because it's so many lines are kind of, you know, it's a good play, actually, but all the lines are so a lot of them sound the same, you know? So, I've never done it one time perfectly. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always... And the thing is, even if you have notes, the dialogue is so fast that you kind of lose your spot. Like, there's some moments where I don't look at the notes and actually do dialogue. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, shit, I don't know what the next line is. So then you have to go back to the notes. And so I'm writing them. I have millions. I have millions of notes there. And there's... So anyway, I thought I could almost call this podcast like reasons not to be an actor, you know?
Right.
Like this, I thought, is it me? Like somebody's, you know, people on Facebook are like talking about it now because it's on Facebook, and we put notices to ask for actors. So one person from my other show said, oh, maybe it's Danny Siegel. Maybe it's a curse on Danny Siegel. And then I'm thinking, maybe it is a curse on Danny Siegel. Like,
yeah.
It's either me or the place.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, the place is... It's a weird place, and they don't. It's a crazy. I've never been in this situation before, and now I'm a. Anyway, it's gonna be great.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, but it is nuts, right? Like I've never been in this situation before.
I'm surprised you guys are still going with it.
I know.
I honestly am.
But you have to understand. I mean, we put in a lot of work into it. I mean, and the I don't know. I mean, listen, it's gonna be.
It's gonna be what it is, man. Make the most of it.
Yeah, it's gonna be as is, you know.
It'll be as is. I mean, like I'll be there probably probably next Friday night. You know, the following week is my vacation.
Oh, so yeah.
I'm gonna start off the week right with
you might miss Aunt Ginny. I mean, you might be there the same night.
Oh, Aunt Ginny shit.
You never met my aunt.
I never met Aunt Ginny.
Yeah, she's lovely. You know, my family came to the place last year and they were complaining about the seats. You know, because there are stupid wooden seats.
Yeah.
So I tell all my friends to actually bring a cushion.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm not bringing a cushion because, you know, I'm a man.
But I sat in those seats for more than 10 minutes. My butt really starts to hurt, you know?
Right.
I think you could be a man and still bring a pillow or something.
No.
I'm just saying.
I like to be overly sarcastic when it comes to, like, traditional forms of masculinity.
Overly sarcastic?
Overly sarcastic.
Well, when you sat...
Maybe it might not come across that way, but in my mind...
No, you are definitely overly... I mean, you're not overly, you're sarcastic.
I think the problem is my dry delivery is so spot on that it's always mistaken for serious. I actually, one of my coworkers, she said I should try out for stand-up comedy.
Right.
Yeah, because just my deadpan delivery.
Right, you would totally win the deadpan comedy night.
Yeah, I just can't come up with material. I can come up with a fucking.
Well, that song in itself. You just play that song.
I should just go up there and I just go to Catch Rising Star with the guitar and just do that.
You would kill. I mean, literally kill. People would die.
Yeah.
Like, actually, they would just die.
Jason Weinberg will dive his 11th stroke.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, it's... But you sat in these chairs last year. You went to see me in a play last year.
Yeah, but I didn't really think anything of it.
You didn't think the chairs were...
No, because I...
Okay, maybe...
I think the amount of disappointment I've experienced in my life is far more than people who go to see these shows. So, like, that seems...
But your ass doesn't know that. Your ass doesn't know your mental disappointment.
Well, there's an ass and mind connection. Whereas a lot of people, they're inconvenienced by something like that, and they're not happy. Me, it's just like another Tuesday.
Okay, so you have a high tolerance for pain.
I wouldn't say pain. In fact, I can't even... Like, or I was just so engrossed in the show...
Maybe I was so amazing.
It's true.
By the way, speaking of acting, I'd like to apologize to Gene Hackman. hear me out. No. I'm not going to go on a tirade, but last episode or two episodes ago, I used him as an example of someone who's not classically handsome, but was a very good actor. Uh-huh. And it was actually meant as a compliment, but if Gene Hackman's family heard it, they might have thought that I was, you know, right. slandering the guy. Yeah, I mean, he's not the most attractive guy in the world. Let me say
it. You're doing it again.
I know, but he's a great actor.
Great actor. I actually watched the theatrical cut of Superman 2 last week.
Oh.
It's pretty good.
Wait, oh. Dude, I thought you were going to wait for me to see it.
Well, I think that was the Richard Donner cut. I think that's the one you said you didn't see.
Wait, you saw the theatrical cut?
I saw the theatrical cut.
The one that I saw.
Likely, more than likely.
So you didn't see the director's cut?
Not the Richard Donner cut.
But how different can that be?
Apparently it's pretty different.
All right. But it was good, right? The theatrical.
I like the theatrical one, yeah. I think it had it did what a good sequel does. Right. Like, it adds more of, like, the emotional element.
I mean, it has a hokey element of him becoming, like, bad Superman, kind of like in Spider-Man 3, where there's, like, a good...
That's not Superman 2.
No, all right. Well, let me digress.
This is the one where he...
he loses his powers.
He loses his powers.
Okay, that's what I meant. Like, that's sort of a hokey, like, he loses his powers for about half an hour, and then he gets beat up. I mean, it's cool, it's fun, but it's you know... If I was Superman, I wouldn't want to lose my powers at all.
I mean, that was my whole thing. I was like, so why don't you just have both? I mean, Lara, Kal-El's mom, is like, you know, you could be with her, but you have to lose your powers. I'm thinking, bitch, you're fucking dead. What are you going to do about it?
Well, I feel like it's a metaphor, you know? Like, I feel like I have...
It's like sacrifice.
Yeah. Like, let's take relationships, for example. Mm-hmm. I feel...
Experts in those.
Well, I'm an expert in what, you know, I'm an expert in how I feel.
Right.
I'm not an expert about how anybody else feels.
That's a good point. Right.
But I feel like relationships work well if both people in the party don't lose their powers, right?
Right.
Like, I've been in relationships, which I think you have too, where you feel like you kind of have superpowers at the beginning, and everything's great, mm-hmm. and you have sex all the time, and everything's perfect, and then suddenly you start to lose yourself and your purpose, and everything becomes a headache, and you start to, you know, so, and then you start to lose your superpower.
Yeah.
So, but for some few couples, you know, I don't know, I just became Mickey Mouse. Some don't lose their powers. Like, there's something about the relationship that makes them actually stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a dime in the rough.
Yeah,
that's a rough in the dime.
Yeah.
That's a heat in the haystack.
What?
Isn't there a saying?
A needle in a haystack.
A needle in a haystack, yeah. You're good like that. You come up with good logical sayings, yeah. So I kind of feel like, you know, superpowers are important. Like, I would rather stay by myself and have my superpowers and not be in a relationship.
Right.
Rather than being in a relationship and lose my power.
Right.
So, I don't know. So, it's a tough call.
It is a tough call.
Yeah. I've had some interesting relationship stuff lately, but I think...
Oh, yeah, what's going on with the...
Well, I think it requires a thing song.
Well, okay, so, wait, before we do that.
Okay.
Danny's Relationship Corner!
Woo! That gets better and better every time. Well, here's where I have to tread cautiously. I often get in trouble in my personal life with this stupid segment. I know you get a lot of enjoyment out of it.
I get a lot of enjoyment. You know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners do. And you know what? Honestly.
Yeah.
You know, if not everyone does, you know, it's not necessarily on you.
No.
Being honest.
I would like, let's approach it in a different way.
Okay.
How about you ask me questions? Rather than me just go into a tirade, that's what gets me into trouble.
Okay, I see. Okay, so how are things going?
Oh, wow.
Okay, so...
Okay. No, that's a good question.
Okay, so she's still talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly
by text.
Mostly by text.
Which is the usual way of communicating these days.
Right, so, Deb, did you...
Yeah, I'll tell you the...
One of the last episodes, you made a vow to go for a walk.
Oh,
I think we passed that because you guys did meet for dinner.
We had a nice dinner, and then that awkward hug occurred, and we talked about
the awkward hug, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that was actually interesting because we actually hugged, and you taught me the ways of hugging.
I taught you the ways of the hug.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, I felt very
because you had because if you ladies and gentlemen listening in, and like a if you forget, so Danny essentially gave. His friend.
It was raining.
It was raining. He gave her similar to what we would call like a bro hug, in which I demonstrated to him.
Right.
So, but It wasn't a full frontal hug. Now, it, from my understanding, it was like a one arm hug. Now, actually, it's interesting.
Right.
We're talking about hugs.
Right.
Because I remember mentioning, you know, just talk about myself for a little bit.
Sure.
I'll get back to you in like maybe like another minute.
No, I can wait.
So like.
You had a, hug, been, you had a hugging
long,
incident?
It'd been a long time that, you know, since I, like, hugged anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, like, I drove my parents to the airport the mm-hmm. other night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they headed down to Florida. They're coming back Friday night.
Right.
And, you know, I gave them both hugs. And I noticed, like, I gave, like, full, like, two-arm hugs. Like, sometimes, like, I think, like, subconsciously, I would sort of set half-ass it, not really meaning to. I just right. wasn't thinking.
Right.
I gave full-on hugs.
And not a threesome. Like one to your mother.
No, they're my parents.
But you could use threesome not sexually. Like you could have like a group hug.
Right. Right. But it's more personal when you give an individual.
Oh.
Yeah.
See,
It was nice. You know.
So who did you hug first? Your father?
I hugged my mom first. Okay. That was also because she was closer to me.
So. Okay, okay.
And I'll hug them when I pick them up on Friday.
I feel that's interesting, but you had urgency because we're about to go to the airport on a plane. I think urgency probably lends itself to a good hug.
I think also sometimes it's like recognizing whether one's urgent or not. A hug is a good way to provide. There is something to say about like physical contact.
Yeah.
That like you. When you haven't had it in a long time.
Right. It makes you feel connected.
It makes you feel connected. It's very important to like get it. You don't want to half-ass it.
But I feel like...
Because you know, it's not just good for you. It's good for the other people too.
No, yeah. It's good for the universe.
Right.
But I would say that the urgency of the hug is important. Like I feel like I would hug better if someone was about to go on an airplane rather than just hugging somebody in the kitchen on a Tuesday morning.
I don't think it's urgency. I think it's... Because when you think of urgency, you think of like how fast you think about a quick hug. But I think
urgent because you might not see them again because they're going off to war.
Oh well, that's still yeah. I mean, like, but that context definitely plays.
Yeah, like I feel like if Aunt Ginny was going to like if she was recruited to go to Vietnam or I mean not Vietnam but some to Ukraine.
Right.
If she was going to defend Ukraine,
well, if that happened, I would say our military's. Definitely understaffed.
No, I think they would win. Aunt Ginny's fierce. I'm scared of her.
Yeah, you're probably the only one. But.
No. You'd be scared of her too if you met her. But so if she was about to go to war or to go to Brazil on a flight or something, I would probably hug her in a pretty like an 8.5 hug, you know. Right. But if I see her like in Thanksgiving with all the family around, I'm going to give her like a 2.3 hug.
Right. Right. So the context is definitely important.
Context meaning urgency.
Right. Well, not necessarily, but I mean.
Well, I think we have different definitions of urgency.
See, I think of urgency, I think of like, well.
We'll
move past the urgency.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah. I think like, if you think they're going away, you're not going to see them for a while. That lends urgency to the hug.
Right. So essentially, what this all boils down to is your situation.
Okay.
Was really not urgent. It was rainy, but it's not
right. Like but I have an update on that.
Oh, update. Okay.
Yeah, the update is that she now admits that there were other circumstances in that hug and that not so good hug. That she actually said, you know what? You had an umbrella in your hand. Ah, we didn't know this. I didn't mention that. I forgot that it was raining, and I was actually trying to cover her from the rain. I was being...
That's a somewhat important detail.
I forgot, because I get, you know, I don't know. So that's why it was a half-bro hug, because I have the umbrella.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so now she actually admitted that I actually was trying to save her life from the rain, And so I was actually altruistic. It was a very, considering that, it was a fucking great hug. Anyway, so that, okay. So now she, okay, the big news is that we crossed enemy lines.
Cross enemy lines.
This chair that you're sitting in now, uh-huh. She sat in.
Okay.
Now, I had a choice to make. I thought to myself, it might be good if she arrives, not to give her the exact address, just in case she turns out to be kind of a lunatic, or you never know.
I just gave her Gaber's address.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah, Gaber's address, which is very close to me, but still not close enough. I actually thought, as a joke, I would like greet her at the car in the parking lot, uh-huh. and say, hey, this is what I do with all my visitors. I put a bag over their head, and I lead them to the door so they don't really know which apartment they're going into. I didn't do that.
She strikes me as someone who would, like, somehow, even with the bag over her head, would be able to determine how many steps it took.
Really?
Before, and, like, sort of like a Rain Man type situation.
That would be type A. That would be pretty. If she did that, she would be, like, an amazing detective.
Yeah.
Maybe she is.
Could be.
Yeah, but anyway, I decided she's not going to be a stalker or weird or so. Anyway, so she was here.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, a female was in my apartment. That's,
right.
You know, my apartment is very weird right now. It has a guitar, and it had a female all within the same week. There's a lot going on in this apartment.
Wow.
Usually it's just me.
Yeah.
So, you ask how it went. Well, it was, there was a lot of energy in the room.
A lot of energy? Was that a positive energy or a negative energy?
It was positive. She's very quick. You know, so you have to kind of be on your toes.
Uh-huh.
At one point, she said something about, she did a very interesting segue. We were talking, there was a lot of segues, you know, like we do that here too. But right. I mean, this was like with a female, it's even worse. You know, there's like, you don't know what the hell is going on half the time, you know. And she was like, she said something about me being dressed up as Santa Claus. I don't know. It was something about Santa Claus and me, and it was very confusing. And then at some point, and also she brought pizza. You know, there was pizza involved. So I'm trying to be very, you know, here's the thing. You don't know exactly how to behave in these situations, right? I chose, you could be a real man, or you could be me. Right? I chose to be me, okay?
No, what? there's no one more well equipped to do that than you.
That's really true. So I chose to be me. I figured let's be the nice approach, right? The nice approach, right? If I was going, because you don't know how the other person, you don't want, I don't want to seem overly like excited or aggressive.
Oh, well, see, right? We think back to like the golden rule you learn in like third grade: do unto others as you would have done unto you.
Right.
That's pretty much how I've always operated.
Well, I don't know. Every female is different. You know, I just, the protocol is really uncertain. So I, you know, body language is important. Like, I don't know, like, when to, like, touch a hand or an eyebrow or any body part. So I chose to just kind of chill.
It's probably best to touch the hand before the eyebrow. Just for a future reference.
Now you tell me.
The eyebrow is a...
is a very sacred...
It's very sacred. I think... I think that doesn't happen until like after sex.
Wow.
The eyebrow.
Yeah. Well, I think in South Africa, that could be like the erogenous zone.
It could be.
You know, but I don't know. I never dated a South African woman. But anyway, so I chose to be me. I chose to be... It was kind of like this. We had this nice little chat, you know. And, of course, time is limited because she's got stuff to do. So then... And then, you know, I have this little couch here. And she goes, let's sit on the couch. I was like, okay. There was talk about watching Curb Your Enthusiasm because she likes it, but she hasn't seen
a lot.
And but see, that's the thing. I mean, when time is limited, you don't want to watch TV, you know? You want to really get to know the person. I don't know. So anyway, we didn't watch Curb. But now, okay. So now, okay. Now here's a little issue that it's not her fault. I'm not saying anything bad about her, but she has her ways.
It It was going so well.
No. It's fine. I can get out of this. I as a kid, I have some trauma with a few things in life. One of them is a lipstick. Okay, here's why. Okay, here's
why. I'm looking forward to this.
Okay, when I was a kid, I had to go to synagogue every Saturday with my father. My father was a rabbi. In the synagogue, there's a lot of old ladies with overwhelming perfume. They all idolized my father, which I hated because I hated my father. So when I associate heavy perfume and lipstick with those kinds of people.
Oh, yeah.
Some women choose to wear lipstick as an enticing, appetizing, attractive. I don't get that. When I see lipstick, I kind of recoil, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's some lipstick.
So the question is, if she hears this podcast, is she going to be hearing that for the first time?
No. No, I actually asked her today, can I talk about the lipstick?
Oh, okay.
And she said, yes. Who knows if she meant that? It's already out there, so what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But it's not against her. I mean, a lot of women use lipstick.
Right, it's just that. And that old lady perfume, I know exactly what perfume you're talking about.
Yeah.
I smell all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you all... I have a theory. I'm pretty sure I've shared this with you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that like, as you get older, you know, your body starts to emit certain odors.
Yeah.
So they happen to... Just so happens, you know, you gravitate towards stronger perfumes.
Right. To cover up your foul odor as an older person.
It has nothing to necessarily do with hygiene. It's just something that happens with the body.
Yeah, or what you ate that day or something.
Right.
You know, I've timed myself. I can actually not shower for 2 days and not smell too bad. I've smelled myself.
Oh.
I could probably go 3 days. When I was depressed, I probably went for 2 weeks, but that probably wasn't that good. But, So now the question is, we've talked about this, and here's another thing, like our time together is limited, so there's a lot of analyzation that happens after the game, after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So we've analyzed now.
And analysis typically tends to happen after the fact, because that's when you have more information.
It doesn't happen before the fact.
I mean, you can try to, it's helpful to analyze more after you receive information.
All the information, right. So the information is this. The question is, you know, I did not make a move. I did not lean over. I did not try to peck her on the pecker. I mean, I didn't try to kiss her or anything. But I from my point, I was, you know, I'm the host. I don't want to be overpowering. And
right.
I don't want, and also I'm not sure what she's thinking. I don't want her to reject me. You know, there's a lot of thought that goes into this.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Okay, so, and now, you know, and it's not that the lipstick is a deal breaker, but I think when I saw the hint of lipstick, I kind of, like, I started to think back about all those times in synagogue with the old ladies.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's not against her. It's just that I have my own shit to work out. You know, I didn't realize I had this trauma, you know.
Right.
But apparently I'm lipstick phobic, I guess.
Hmm.
So, you know, now I know, you know.
There you go.
I mean, like, I don't really understand either why lipstick became a thing that people would associate with beauty. I don't get that, you know? Like, why would
I'm sure a lot of women aren't too happy about it either, but they feel like they have
to. But why? Why? Who's the first person that started the lipstick thing?
Well, see, I'm actually not sure. It's hard. See, it's hard to say, because I feel like a lot of people would say a man came up with the idea.
Really?
And it's very possible.
Why?
Why
would a man say, hey, I want my woman to put lipstick on?
I don't know.
I'm just saying, it's a weird...
Well, I think there's also a tendency to blame men for everything.
Sure. I don't care. I'll blame anybody for this.
But at the same time, you know, there's always been that saying, you know, behind every great man is a powerful woman.
Right.
I still think, you know...
Well, let me ask you this. If you were with a woman, right, and you were about to kiss her, would you prefer to kiss a woman with lipstick or without lipstick?
Okay, so here's another thing. Okay.
Okay.
So I guess I never really thought about it, but I don't like when the lipstick is, like, really pronounced.
Right. Right.
And now I'm thinking about it, I'm not a fan of pink lipstick.
Okay.
I like red. I don't mind red, especially darker. You know what I really like?
What?
I would love to kiss a woman with, like, black lipstick.
Why?
Because especially if she's got, like, that goth thing.
Goth?
I think I can dig that.
But what? First of all, is there such a thing as black lipstick?
Oh, there's definitely black lipstick.
People put black lipstick.
I think like a lot of goth girls do.
Huh? Yeah. What's your thing with goth?
I don't know.
You want to date?
I think for me, it's just like against the norm. You know, I think it's
so.
Just,
you would like, a goth looking like a vampire looking woman, like a Halloween Elvira.
Oh yeah.
You like that?
I would like that.
Yeah, I could see that because she would be like a deadpan. She'd be like, "I want to bite your neck," and be like, "Okay."
Yeah.
But only if you're wearing black lipstick.
Yeah.
Huh. So red lipstick you're not into.
So red lipstick's okay. Red lipstick's okay. And especially if it's like more like a cherry red type.
Mm.
I'm not a big fan of the here's the other thing. I'm not a big fan of the pink. And I think it actually that's I think an age thing. So I think I associate pink lipstick more with like older women.
Right.
And when I say older women, I'm talking about women even that are like too old for me.
Right, right.
I'm talking like 70s and 80s.
Right. Because your cutoff is 69.
Pretty much,
68,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd love my grandmother, but she's dead. Anyway, so I don't know. I don't think I like any kind of lipstick. I don't know. It's probably going back.
I mean, we just covered that.
Right. But it's also the thought of having to, it gets all over you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you look like I don't know. It just seems like an unnecessary.
When I was 20, you know, my girlfriend at the time, we were getting kind of hot and heavy.
Okay.
One night outside in Applebee's.
And, it's always the main place to hang out. Yeah.
And she gave me like the biggest fucking hickey on my neck.
Mm.
And I had to like go to class and like work. I had to like somehow cover it up.
Right.
I remember even like my mom was like, next time, ever kiss something that you can't see.
Right.
That's good thinking.
Right. That's another thing. Hickeys, I don't really understand them. That's like leaving a mark on your prey. That's like
it really is. It's like someone leaving like marking their territory.
Right. Like exactly. Like I'm the woman.
Yeah.
Like even tomorrow when I'm not around, you're gonna be carrying my scar.
Yeah, people will know that you're like taken.
Right. Yeah, that's dictatorship.
Yeah, that really is.
Yeah, I'm against that too.
At the time, you know, she was like my first girlfriend, and it was right. I was enjoying it. And
so wait a minute, you were outside of Applebee's, and she gave you a
outside
hickey.
Applebee's.
Right. And then how long? And the hickey just stayed on your neck.
It stayed there for, yeah.
That takes a lot of work too to actually create the hickey. You have to like suck the skin and
yeah. That part wasn't so bad.
But again, back to the original question. If you had a choice between no lipstick lady kissing and some lipstick lady kissing, what would you choose?
So I would say, okay, so if I had no say whatsoever in terms of the color of the lipstick, a full-on like mystery.
Right.
I would say just to be on the safe side, I'd probably say no lipstick.
Right. I rest my face. I rest my case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. So anyway, so this was, I don't think that was the actual.
But I'm not like, I have no like psychological like hang up over it though. It's just like,
right.
Like, yeah.
It's a choice. It's a preference.
Right.
Right. It's like Diet Coke versus Coke.
Right.
You know, lipstick. Anyway, so I think this wasn't a conscious processing on my part. But I mean, afterwards she kind of made, you know, and the analysis after the visit. She was like, oh, you know, you're not like other guys. Other guys kind of tried something with me and you didn't try anything. And you know what I mean? So now, and I was like, well, it's very hard to analyze these things. You know, so then I was like, you know what? I was being a perfect gentleman. I'm being very nice. And now I'm being criticized for being nice.
It's very hard, especially like these days, because you never know.
I know.
What to do. I mean, like I...
Next time, you know what? Next time, I'm going to greet her naked.
Next time, I'm going to be here. I'm going to chaperone the whole thing.
Yeah, I need it to be video. I need it to be videotaped.
Yeah.
Or I could just be here alone, naked, just like with a flower in my mouth, and maybe put a little bit of lipstick on myself.
That's a whole other thing that
would scare her away.
That's
probably.
That's opening up a multi-episode arc, because I feel like if you even think about doing that...
Right.
That's a whole thing we never even discussed before.
No, I know. And I'm probably not going to choose that route.
Right, but anyway, wise, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, and then on the way out, you know, so it was only like 2 hours. You know, there's a lot. There's a lot going on in these 2 hours, you know. But it was good. It was fun. I mean, I think she had a good time.
That's cool.
You know? And but I it's, I mean, still,
she's still talking to you, so
she's still talking to me. She's planning on coming to the play.
Uh-huh.
Which is going to be whatever it is. Like, she's not, it's not going to be my finest hour, you know. But but now, you know, so now that's where we are, you know. So, oh, and then, but then I go outside and I gave her what I think was a really good hug. Like, I, and then I said later, I was like, that was like an 8. She goes, 7, you know. So, so now we're rating things, you know. Yeah. I just don't want to be, I feel like.
Well, I feel like that also could have been playful.
It's playful, but it's also with a hint of, truth. Every playfulness has a hint of truth, right?
Not every, not all the time.
I'm pretty sure that this all comes from
a lot of times. If I'm like a lot of times, like back in the day, like when I was, you know, having sex,
right. Long time ago.
I would be playful with women and I would joke a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot of times, like, it wasn't serious at all. Like, I would be like,
right.
It was a 7, but I would not be, I would say it was a 7, but I actually would have meant, like, a 10.
Oh, no, she means exactly what she's saying.
Well, then.
She's very type A. She's very, like, when she says 7.3, she means 7.3, which is fine. I'm good with it. I mean, high school, if I got a 73 on a test, that'd be success.
You know, yeah, like, just about, yeah.
Yeah, that's totally passing.
Right.
All I need is to totally pass.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so I would say, to summarize, we got a good hug. We got a 7 or an 8.
Right.
The only criticism, you know, we had the lipstick issue. I actually did address the lipstick issue with her. Not at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I felt like, you know, because I really, it's my problem. I'm the one that's in my head with the lipstick issue, you know. But I kind of feel like it's a, I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit of a problem. So anyway, so we have all these issues now, you know. Mm. I mean, the lipstick thing.
Doesn't sound like that many issues.
Well, I don't know. I just feel like, imagine if we were to, you know, proceed with this mm-hmm. situation. I mean, just the analyzation of it becomes like a. I think maybe here's the thing. If I spent more time with her, there would be less analyzing, right?
Like, chances are, because the more information you gain about each other, the less uncertainty, the less ambiguity.
Right. Like this was like, let's examine Danny in his habitat night, mm. right? And let's examine her as a guest.
Mm.
You know, it's very hard to be a good guest. You know, you have to be like. You know, the give and take, the conversation. Like, I, you know, this is still pretty new. So, all right, I think we're done. I think we're done with the relationship corner time.
All right, well, I,
No, did you get anything you need, everything you needed? I mean.
Yes, that's good.
Do you have any advice for me?
Any advice? I would say, I know this is like the pot calling the kettle black, but like. I would say, you know, just try not to, like, our esteemed listener, British Mark, says, don't overthink it.
Yeah, but what does he know? By the way, he texted me today a few times, and he keeps calling you a deep thinker. And then I said to him, well, does that make me, like, the idiot, like, fool? And right. He goes, you said it.
No, I would say, okay, so, like, here's the thing. I can say what I want, or I can say anything about this whole relationship
right
thing
right.
I'm also someone who's not actively seeking one.
Right.
I could just very much easily find myself in the same mental head war going on.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like it gets harder as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
You become more judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
You become more.
Right.
Like, unaccepting.
Right. That's true.
You kind of become more of an asshole the older you get. It's really a shame.
Well, you get set in your ways, and you don't want to compromise as much.
Yeah.
You know? And so I have to, I feel like, you know, I wouldn't need to compromise. Oh, we also talked about music.
Oh!
And we finally came to one little small agreement. She's okay with Queen.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
And I'm like, and then I thought to myself, that's good. We can build on that, you know? Yeah. But then I was talking to British Mark about this today. And he was like, Anybody likes Queen. And like he made it seem like it wasn't that special that she likes Queen, you know. And then I thought that's true. Like
most. Okay, so okay, I guess the next step be like, all right, which era of Queen do you prefer?
Oh yeah, there's no eras. There's gonna be no 70s, 80s, 90s Queen. Like she has no idea.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she. I'll be lucky if she knows We Will Rock You. Which is fine. Some people live their life. She's been raising a kid. I mean, right. You know, but just I, you know. Oh, by the way, British Mark mentioned that, you know, Lissy is playing London again. Oh, yeah. And he's like, why don't you fly down? And I was like, and I'm like, why don't I fly down? So now I'm thinking
You haven't worked in like 5 years, but.
No, it's not true. I went to work yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Okay. I did.
I also exaggerate, but.
Yeah. No, I work, but certainly, certainly that's money's a consideration.
Money's a very important consideration.
And I'm actually going to Chicago in December for McDermott.
Oh, nice.
But see, Lissy, for some reason, does the best shows in London. Like, she's doing a show which is music and storytelling. I've never seen a storytelling show. Mm-hmm. So now, and that's like November 26th, and I'm like, you know, so of course I was like, there's no way. But then 5 minutes later, I'm like, you know, there are
November 26th?
Yeah.
You know what that means.
What does that mean?
You'd be able to miss Thanksgiving with your family.
Oh, that would be nice.
I think that settles it.
Oh, wow. Is that Thanksgiving this year? Is 20-something?
Yeah, it's usually like that part of that time of year. That's actually, I'm taking the 40-week weekend.
The family always gets in the way. By the way, did I tell you this? That I bought tickets for a show? I think I told you that I can't go to. So there's a family waiting on November 4th. And then Lissy has a show, and I went crazy and I bought tickets, and I realized I can't go. So my family is interfering with that too.
Right.
So I am going to go to see her on the 5th in Bethlehem, which is far, but it's doable.
Right.
But now I'm thinking 26, man. I mean, it's only a 7-hour plane ride, you know? But I think I didn't realize Thanksgiving. Ugh. The family always gets in the way.
Well, actually. I was thinking, you know, you go to the Lissy show.
Right.
You miss Thanksgiving.
Right. No, you know, I know, but I would never hear the end of it.
Oh.
I mean, Aunt Ginny would be after me with like a pitchfork or whatever whatever the pilgrims used.
I'm pretty sure it was pitchforks.
To kill the turkeys.
I was thinking Frankenstein when he accidentally kills that little girl in the water, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, for some reason, in my family, I guess all families, Thanksgiving is a big, big.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, why is Lissy doing a show on Thanksgiving weekend?
I don't know, man. I don't know her personally.
I know. But anyway, listen, this is good. We started a new trend here with the guitar.
Yeah.
I think it would be interesting if we actually have some talent here that uncharted. Because you came up with the As Is song. This could be, I mean, granted, you know, it was lacking some production value. But
like, skill.
Yeah, but it was very raw.
It was very raw.
You know, and I do feel like, much like the show As Is.
It was very As Is.
It was a very, yeah. It was.
Well, admittedly, we did rehearse a little bit.
Yeah.
Beforehand.
Yeah. No. Well. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. So let me just see here. Oh, you know, we were going to talk to Melissa, but that's it's almost the end of the episode. Yeah. But let's see. Let me just look here. Okay. I said here the topics, the play problem we went over, the hug we went over, the lipstick, scary lipstick. I wrote scary lipstick. Acting.
Actually, if it was like flavored lipstick, I'd be okay with.
Flavored as what?
Like, if it was, like, maybe strawberry-flavored lipstick or cherry-flavored lipstick, that'd be cool. Because, like, I would just want to kiss her a lot just so I can taste the,
wow.
The lipstick.
But, see, the problem with the lipstick thing is you don't know. It's not the flavor that I'm worried about. It's the actual visual.
It's sad. It's tied to a memory.
It's tied to a memory. And what are you going to do? Like, memories are what we are made of.
I mean, like, the only thing you can really do is rewrite what those memories mean. And that's, like.
That's impossible.
Way beyond.
That's impossible. I would need to go to like EMDR sessions, therapy sessions. You know what EMDR is? They actually try to reprogram your memories.
Oh, really?
And it doesn't really work. Like Vietnam veterans do this. And,
oh, yeah.
But it would be really funny if I went to a therapist who's used to like combat veterans. I'd be like, I have this lipstick memory that needs to be.
I can actually see that happening, though. I can actually see you doing that.
That would be like a Larry David moment. You're like, I'm haunted by lipstick. Everywhere I go, I see lipstick. I can't kiss a woman because of fucking lipstick. And then there was like, that's the first time anybody... But you never know what's going to haunt you.
Right.
You don't know.
Exactly. You never know until like the minute it takes its way around.
You know what? You know, they say that most people have some sort of trauma and some... Like, trauma is not limited to the size of the trauma. Like, a trauma is a trauma is a trauma is a trauma.
Right.
So you could have like a 5% trauma or a 99% trauma.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody's got trauma.
Yeah.
I have a lipstick trauma.
I'm definitely traumatized.
Well, we could get into that.
We could.
Sure. But yours, see, but here's the difference between you and me. You probably have like manly trauma, you know, like not getting approval from peers or something. That's cool trauma. Like mine is like lipstick, you know? like mine is embarrassing trauma, you know? Like I'm not.
Mine's definitely the one that's like good. Mine's definitely the one where I'm, no matter what I do,
mm-hmm.
I am never good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter, people could tell me till they're blue in the face.
Right, right, right.
That I'm like the greatest person in the world, that I'm a genius. I don't need to
right.
seek approval or anything. It's right. like I aim to do so is that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have that too in different capacities. That's why I'm doing this play. Because I always do the play because I feel like I'm not enough. So this is a chance for me to be enough for, you know, on stage, people are paying to see me.
Yeah,
they might think I'm good. They might clap.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm like, okay, I'm enough because people are clapping for me.
Yeah.
But then what? Then what?
And the show passes and then you get to another show and then it's the same thing all over again.
Yeah, and then I'm probably not even going to get that satisfaction on this play because it's going to be a train wreck.
Yeah. I mean, that or, you know, the very fact that you're the one that pretty much held this together and the fact
but
that
the audience...
you're the last one that came in, well, except for Mike and whoever the other
right.
guy is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't
you're
know.
You're the last one that came in.
But the audience is not going to know that I'm the hero.
Yeah, I will.
And our 10 listeners will know that I'm the fucking hero.
That's right.
No, I don't know. Actually, it's really funny. I haven't heard from them today at all. Like, the director, I think the director probably went to a hospital. I think she's lying there right now going, I have to face this again tomorrow. Because she's very, I mean, like, I've never, and of course the guy that quit, he hasn't reached out to us. Like, I mean, oh, by the way, I didn't tell you the whole story, I think. So he said that he was having chest pains to the director.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't argue with that. Maybe it's true.
Right.
My hunch is that it's not.
Oh, yeah, I'm calling bullshit.
Yeah, because a few days before he actually said to me, I'm getting scared and I'm thinking about maybe saying that I have AIDS. It was like a joke.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. Like, of course, I didn't say it. You know, I thought he was kidding.
Mm-hmm.
But to do it 2 days before the show is crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but regardless, I do like him. I did like, he would have been good. I mean, even, it's just like, I mean, who knows? Maybe he actually had a heart attack. If he had a heart attack, then I feel bad.
He could be dead right now for all we
know. No. Fine, whatever. Yeah. At least we're talking about him, you know.
Yeah.
So, by the way, tonight... it's a special night because...
Was it?
Well, yeah, we played guitar.
Oh, that's right. Well, I played guitar, but...
You played guitar.
You sang backup, yeah.
Maybe we should get feedback from the audience if they want to hear more guitar pieces.
Right. Just so you know, I'm not going to necessarily get any better. So what you're going to get is we're going to get tough shit.
But don't... Let's not curse at the audience. Don't you think that that you might take lessons? You said you might take lessons.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to try to get better. But, you know, I'm not getting better for the audience.
I know. Well, that's exactly the thing. We don't like expectations.
I may sound like I'm coming off like a jerk off, but I'm really just, it's all in good fun. It's all in just, the audience knows that I'm really indifferent toward them. So it's... I'm not scolding them.
Right. Indifferent. You're indifferent to the audience?
I'm kidding. I do appreciate those who listen in. I actually do. But it's like, I'm not going to be one of those people who be like, get down my hands and knees, be like, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for listening to my show. Because I feel like that actually would be disrespectful to our audience. Because
right.
I feel like people who actually like this
right.
kind of material,
they want as
they
is.
They don't want that. They don't want that groveling bullshit.
It would be nice to actually do, if we had a big audience, it would be cool to actually hear just, I mean, and of course I wouldn't really follow up on this, but it would be cool to hear like what they like and what they don't like. And then of course, it would just be cool to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, they might not like the lipstick talk for 20 minutes. They might.
Well, you're going to get some feedback.
Well, I get feedback from one person,
right?
But not from the whole lipstick community.
Well, I feel.
But I do feel like there's probably other guys in my situation.
See, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I kind of appreciate the days back before social media, back when people weren't able to offer
advice, their opinions.
Yeah. Because there was a fine separation between creator and audience.
Well, our show is definitely like that because nobody gives a shit about our show.
Yeah.
Like nobody gives a shit. Oh, shit, we're at the end. Nobody gives a shit about our show.
Yeah, so nobody you're all fucking, go fuck